You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Get the latest from Bills practice today in Orchard Park. Dan Fates, 13-Wham Sports, BuffaloPlus.com, our guest every Thursday at this time. Dan, before we talk Bills, just quickly, your thoughts on the World Series coming to an end last night, the way it ended for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, that was I didn't see that. I thought the way that game four ended, I was tweeting the fact that the, you know, hitting's contagious, and just the fact that Aaron Judge felt the barrel of the bat again was could be something that could, you know, mentally help him. And we saw that in the first inning, getting out to all those leads. I didn't follow the Yankees all that closely this entire year, but the defense was just absolutely horrendous this entire World Series. I don't understand Gerrit Cole not covering first base. All of those things. I thought the play to throw to third was the right play in that inning, but everything just spiraled out of control so fast. I was shocked, as many, I'm sure, Yankees fans were.
If I can ask a question to Uncle Dan here. The Dolphins-Bills line, it started out Bills favored by 6.5. It went to 6. I'm like, wait a second here. This is a team the Bills beat up by 21. The Bills are coming off an identical 31-10 victory last week. And in Miami, they haven't done anything here. So what am I missing here, Dan? Is this a trappish game for Buffalo?
Keith, I've been wondering the same thing all day. I'm trying to make my Uncle Dan's best bets picks today, and I just keep looking at this going, I thought it probably would have been 7, maybe 8-point spread to see it start at 6.5 and then kind of go back down. I don't know what I'm missing. And when I look at this game, not only do I just think it's Bills versus Dolphins, do you guys know the last time the Dolphins won in Buffalo?
2011.
Yeah, the Rex Ryan 10-man on the field game. Yes.
Was that an overtime?
Yeah, it was an overtime.
Yeah, okay, regular season. I think regular season you have to go back to 2011.
No, that was a regular season game. They didn't make playoffs.
I'm sorry. I don't mean regular season. Yep. I mean a four-quarter game, not an overtime. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, they punted. Rex punted with like 2.5 minutes to go in overtime. And then had 10 guys on the field when Ajayi ripped a long runoff to set up the game-winning field goal. Like, I don't know what I'm not seeing here. And I understand if you want to say the Dolphins' offense looked better last week. That's fine. I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree that the Dolphins' offense is always dangerous. It's always explosive. We know about all the weapons. I look at this and I wonder, how is that Dolphins' defense going to stop this Bills' offense that is rolling right now, that has scored 47 points, 34 points, 31 points at home? Like, I don't understand that. The Dolphins defense gave up 31 points to the Titans. And, like, they're banged up. Mm-hmm. They are very injured. I don't know what I'm missing here because I think this, and I predicted it, where we just recorded our podcast, that's going to go up later today, like a 40-12 game. I just don't see how the Dolphins are going to slow down this Bills offense with how bad they are defensively to begin with, and then how injured they are.
Yeah, I also think Tyreek Hill, if I'm not mistaken, didn't practice yesterday. I don't know what he did today, but I view the Dolphins right now, and I know a lot of people will say, well, they're coming in desperate because this is their season. I'm like, yeah, are they desperate or are they defeated? Because it feels like they may have losing to the Cardinals last week at home, a game you should have won with Tua returning, and I imagine that they're more defeated than they are desperate at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I was just talking to a friend of mine saying, oh, like this, their season's on the line. Like, what is this save of their season? Like, they're a wild card contending team. Like, last week would have been a huge win. You got the boost from Tua being back, and you couldn't stop Kyler Murray. And, like, they gave up 2 double-digit fourth quarter leads. Like, I don't know what I'm missing because I think that even if they get their offense rolling, I still think their defense is pretty bad. I think their season is already done, and if they want to try and talk themselves up. I'm a big fan of the hungry dog runs faster. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, you get up for certain games more than others. And that's what I was thinking about with the Seahawks game when they went into Atlanta the week before. It was like, Atlanta didn't really need that game. The Seahawks really needed to snap that three-game losing streak. So, like, that game made sense to me. I could be totally wrong. Wouldn't be the first time, but I just don't know. And, like, it's also some of my picks that I always make, I joke around about. It's like, don't think, just throw. Like, it's Josh Allen versus the Dolphins. Like, I just don't see him being slowed down by any means.
Yeah, Dan Fates, 13 Wham. Dan, we were kind of asking the question last week, like, when do the Buffalo Bills clinch? You're like, well, you kind of were like, hey, it's too soon. Can we ask that question again here? Because the idea that this could happen if everything goes correctly in the next 3 weeks, Dan, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, this is Mike just brought it up when we walked in the sports office today, like, somebody asked, you know, him if the Bills could clinch this week, and they can't, but it's getting to that point, especially with the four-game lead, the tiebreaker advantages as well. It's going to be sooner rather than later. I would imagine it's sometime in the month of November that they have this division fully locked up, if not, you know, pomp and circumstance of some semantics. But, yeah, like, we joked around last week when you guys were talking about it, and I was like, guys, like, pump the brakes, easy. We're like, there's a lot of season left. And I think, Gene, you texted me at some point last week going, can we talk about it now? And I went, yeah, we can have that conversation.
Let's go back to practice here this week. We got Von Miller back in the fold. We had an addition to the practice squad. It's almost like he didn't leave. And we have some Bills getting healthier, getting back on the practice field. What can you tell us about what we've seen so far yesterday and today?
Yeah, yesterday was a light practice. They didn't even have shoulder. They weren't even really in pads. So The one thing for me, and I even asked Taron Johnson, like, how is he feeling with his forearm? Because that's another, you know, talk about how important he is. And he said that it's getting better each week, which I obviously expect him to say. But then I asked him, like, is it a healing thing or is it a pain tolerance? And Taron told me it's a pain tolerance. It's something that he struggles at times with pain of getting off of blocks. Now, he led the team in tackles last week in Seattle. Like, I think he's going to continue to get better. I'm not really 100% sure on where they are with Terrell Bernard. He talked about the frustration of not being able to be out there on the field. He said he watched the game at home. It was a very weird feeling for him because he stayed back to get 3 extra days of rehab, not having to worry about the swelling, trying to get that swelling down, not having to worry about flying. I think he's a coin flip, and if I really had to put money on it, I don't know if he plays. And then the other question mark will be Amari Cooper, who's played with was at practice the other day. Sean said he wasn't going to practice. He did do some limited work with the individual drills. But his left wrist, I believe it was left wrist. Yes, his left hand wrist was heavily taped. Like, it looked like he had, like, an oven mitten on underneath his wide receiver glove. So that's a little bit of a concern to me. But I think that you can take comfort knowing that even though Amari was on the field last week, he didn't really do much, and the Bills' offense still seemed to click and find their identity. So I think they are starting to find out who they are, their style of run. And we were talking about on the podcast today that the Bills, so many people think that to be a physical team, you need to run the ball. And I kind of pushed back at that because you guys know me, not a huge fan of running the ball. But the physicality is a mindset. And we saw that in the Jets game when Dalton Kincaid caught that first pass and, like, ran over a cornerback. Like, physicality is, like, the point of line of scrimmage that Sean McDermott always preaches. Because I would say that the Miami Dolphins are a really good team at running the ball, but they're not a physical team. So, like, I don't think those automatically have to go together. So while the Bills want to be more physical, they've shown they can be more physical. The wide receivers have been more physical. All of those things, they just seem like a more two-dimensional team because I've always said I don't want the ball out of 17's hands. So the fact that their offensive line has been so good, that they have this moxie, this persona, this aura of being a physical team, especially on the offensive line, I think has been big to finding their identity offensively.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Bills just releasing the injury report. Everybody full or limited with the exception of Reggie Gilliam. So looks like maybe you'll have all your components. Dan, we've asked you this question various ways, but it's now upon us. Tuesday will be the trade deadline. What would you like to see here, if anything? Or do you need to make a move here if you're Brandon Bean at the deadline?
I'd still like to see. I know I think I've said it a couple times. I'm okay with the pass rusher. It's almost like you found Von Miller off the street, the way that he missed the last 4 weeks, the way Greg Rousseau has gotten better. AJ Epenesa has played well. I feel pretty comfortable right now with the defensive line in that respect, at least on the ends. I think you could always find size in the interior defensive line, adding more beef to go along with Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver. Obviously, there's no Dwayne Carter. You don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back. So I think you could always add there. I'm okay with the wide receivers, especially after adding Amari Cooper. I still think you could be in the market for a backup depth linebacker, some type of veteran that if and when Matt Milano comes back, you know, not to say an A.J. Klein guy, but somebody like that, his kind of style of play that could come in to be a bigger weak side linebacker that if you were to face Baltimore, you would have some more size at the linebacker position against more of those physical teams. So that's what I'm looking at. And I know people, and my good friend Matt Bovey at KBW, he always is bringing up of Micah Hyde. So there's always that, too, for anybody that's going, you know, we got to improve the safety, so we got to improve the secondary. Matt Bovey has constantly been banging the drum that Micah Hyde will be back at some point. So I guess there's another one, too, if somebody's saying, well, you got to improve the secondary. There is a guy that you wouldn't need to trade for out there.
Danger and I were shaking our heads. Like,
I mean, if Micah Hyde's back, something's gone terribly wrong.
I agree 100%. I have fought back at my good friend Matt Bovey, who knows a lot about the Sabres. He knows something about the Bills. I'm just kidding. but the fact that he has been, you know what? Like, I always say, like, hey, stick to the bit. Like, hey, he still thinks it's coming. He still thinks it could happen. I've been pleased with Rapp and Hamlin for the most part. I've said before, like, they're not good enough to make up for poor linebacking play. If you leave them on an island, they will get exposed. But give credit to Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott for their, you know, defensive schemes that doesn't ask them to do more than they can handle.
Dan, part of the girl dad gang here in the sports bar, and I'm wondering if you're employing the candy tax tonight and what your go-to is. What are you reaching for first out of the hall?
Not a huge candy guy. My daughter will eat anything. She's very excited. She's four. Her cousins are coming. We have a new neighborhood. We got a new house. We're really going to try. My daughter's one of those kids that, like, loves the idea of things. And then when it actually comes to it, she gets a little bit nervous. It's like dogs. Like, she loves dogs. And then she sees one and she's like, I don't want to do this at all. So we've had some hiccups with trick-or-treating before. I think she's into it. I'm not a big candy guy, so she'll get whatever she wants, and then I'll steal a Snickers and a Twix.
I steal everything. Steal everything. Dan, so you mentioned Buffalo Plus. What else is coming up there this week here?
Yeah, Mike talked to Will Manso. He's a sports reporter and anchor in South Florida, so he's got great stuff on the Dolphins. That's already got 20-something thousand views. Just great insight about same thing. Desperate team, last leg coming out of Miami, what the offense is, back with Tua, things like that. And then we record our podcast. It'll actually be up probably within the next 2 hours of talk about Keon, Shakir, all of those things, because Jenna wants to hand out candy. I want to go trick-or-treating with my daughters. So we've tried to speed everything up this week so that we can all enjoy the Halloween.
Enjoy your night, man. It's these are memories you can't get back, so take in every moment of it. I know that's cliche, but you've earned it, and it's a good time. Dan, thanks for carving out a little bit of time for us here in the sports bar.
Appreciate it as always, guys. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports and BuffaloPlus.com. Four-year-old daughter taking her trick-or-treat. I'm jealous. I miss those days, man. That was a lot of fun.
I know there's probably somebody that is saying, why wouldn't you want Micah Hyde on the back end of the roster? Why wouldn't you want Micah Hyde, say, over Mike Williams, Mike Edwards, who hasn't been even active? And I would just say this, like, did we forget, like, Micah Hyde last year? To his credit, was still out there, but he was kind of sawdust at the end last year.
I'd say, look at what Jordan Poyer has done in Miami and then get back to me. I mean, there is a cliff that they fall off of. and having knowledge of that defense can act as a deodorant for the lack of physical ability that you had when you were 5 years younger, 10 years younger, right? So I just feel like if that's the call, something's gone horribly wrong. There's an injury and you're losing somebody for the season. You hate to think that way. I think they like who they have on the back end. I think Rapp has played well when he's been on the field. I think Hamlin, when he's not getting blocked to the moon, knows where he needs to be. And I don't see them making that change. I don't see them unless something has gone horribly wrong.
And they like Cam Lewis too.
Yeah.
They can put Cam Lewis wherever you need. He knows everything at this point. So where would Micah, you know, other than you're bringing him in, but are you really want to burn a roster spot for that? He could have been a coach. I'm sure Sean McDermott would have welcomed him. I don't think he wants to do that. It just, to me, the Micah Hyde story seems like unfounded speculation.
Whenever we hear his name, I feel like you and I have the same reaction. We just got to roll our eyes. We're like, oh, really? We're still talking about this? It was fun in the preseason. It was fun during training camp when we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, but like you brought up, the Poyer point is excellent. Like, watch him like this week. It's how you go right after him.
The drop-off is significant.
If Poyer is playing somehow in the slot or something, like, you're going that side of the field. If Poyer is matched up on one side of the field, you're going at that side of the field. Yeah,
you're absolutely picking on him. All right, it's Halloween candy ranking time. I shared my power rankings earlier today. Lots of controversy, lots of candy takes in the world today. And I'm here to lay it all out, my top 10. We've got some overrated candy takes from Alex Brasky, who's stopped by the show, one of our regulars.
Did any... Buddy, check in on Alex, by the way. I haven't texted him. At some point, I will. But
he's sharing candy takes today, so I think he's okay. I think he's all right.
All right.
If he was devastated, I don't know that he'd be sharing his list of the most overrated Halloween candy. Well, we'll get to that. We have Super Agent Lee Steinberg calling us next hour as well, Gino. And I know we've got some NBA action to talk about tonight as well.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to here.
All right, we'll get to your calls as well at 866-4326-585-866. 4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.